One of my favorite and most powerful in my mind pieces of music is in Handel's Messiah. It's one of my favorite choruses. It's, "And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together." It's a very powerful moment in that piece, but it's also a reminder of the promise that we have from God. Because God's story, as told in the Bible, is really a story about God's glory. The glory of God that is revealed in Genesis, in the creation, that all heavens are telling the glory of God. God's glory as it is revealed in Jesus Christ, as an infant and as a resurrected Savior. God's glory as it's revealed in that promise of eternal life that we find in Revelation. From beginning to end, the Bible is a story of the revelation of God's glory and God's invitation for us to enter into that glory with God. Today we get to have some texts, all that reflect and talk about the glory of the Lord. First, a little Bible study about this transfiguration story that we have in the Gospel of Luke. It actually appears in all three of the synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, each one just a little bit different. Today we're looking at the Gospel of Luke in this transfiguration story. It kind of bookends with Christmas, actually, because in Christmas we have Jesus revealed as human, incarnation, God made flesh. And in the transfiguration, it's kind of a bookend, because here we have God revealed, Jesus, this one in flesh, revealed as having the glory of the Lord upon him. So it's an interesting bookend. And that was what I always got out of this story mostly. Isn't Jesus cool? He glows. But we can dig a little bit deeper into the text than that. Jesus went up to the mountain to pray. And as he was praying, his face changed and his clothes became dazzling white. And then as this vision is shared by Peter, James, and John, two figures appeared with him, Moses and Elijah. They spoke with Jesus about his exodus. That's what departure, actually, the Greek word is there. Jesus' exodus from Jerusalem. And what was going to happen? And then God's glory descended in a cloud, as it also descended for Moses back in the text we had in the first text. God's glory descends in a cloud, and they're afraid. And this voice comes from the cloud that says, "This is my Son, the Chosen, with whom I am well pleased." It kind of reminds us of his baptism text, when from heaven Jesus heard the words, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." For those of us who read Scripture, there are these echoes that happen in this text. Echoes from the Old Testament, echoes from Jesus' baptism, echoes even from Christmas. Well, it says that the disciples, Peter, James, and John, kept silent, and they told no one what they had seen. I'm guessing they didn't keep that secret forever, though, because we have this story in three of the Gospels, and Peter, the letter of Peter, refers to it, as we heard in the second lesson today. So at some point, they had to have told the story, because they were the ones that were there, right? I'm guessing they might have told this story as they were waiting in that upper room after Jesus' death, or as they were waiting for Jesus to come again after his resurrection. They might have gathered with the disciples waiting there and said, "You know, we had this really weird experience with Jesus a little while ago on the mountain when we went up with him to pray. Let us tell you what happened." Because in that context, this story of what happened on the mountain would have had a whole new significance for them. Well, whenever they told it, they eventually told it. So why Moses and Elijah? Why were those the two people that showed up there, and how did they recognize them? They're interesting characters in Jewish tradition. Both Moses and Elijah didn't die. They were assumed into heaven. We have the text about Elijah going to heaven on a chariot, right? This chariot that comes and gets Elijah. And The Bible doesn't talk about Moses not dying and being assumed into heaven, but Jewish tradition, Jewish literature that comes right after the Old Testament, particularly Josephus, talks about Moses also just going into heaven. So these two guys that show up with Jesus are the two people who didn't die. So they're just hanging out with God, apparently, in heaven, and we're free to come back and chat with Jesus. I'm not quite sure how that all works from a physical standpoint, but that's what Scripture and tradition tell us. So they have this message from God. They come to Jesus, and they speak with Jesus about what's going to happen in Jerusalem. These guys are also important because they've had their own mountaintop experiences with God. We heard the text today from Moses about Moses as he was up on Mount Sinai, and God gives the Ten Commandments to Moses and spends his time in conversation, and Moses comes back down from the mountain and his face is glowing, much as Jesus' face must have been glowing. Because there's something that changes in you, something that happens in you when you encounter the glory of the Lord. So Moses had his mountaintop experience on Mount Sinai. Elijah had his mountaintop experience on Mount Horeb. You might remember that story when Elijah is fleeing people. He's the prophet in the northern kingdom of Israel. He goes up on the mountain, and he is waiting to hear a message from God. He's hiding out in a cave, and there's this huge storm that comes, but God wasn't in the storm. And there's this huge earthquake that comes, but God wasn't in the earthquake. And then there is this silence that comes, and in the silence he hears God's still small voice. Elijah had his own encounter with God in that still small voice. Well, Peter, James, and John went on after this experience with God as well to be apostles, to be those who helped to form the new church, to even become martyrs for this one that they had seen this day, this encounter of the glory of God. So Moses went on to lead the people of Israel to the promised land. Elijah went on to be the prophet to the northern kingdoms of Israel, proclaiming God's word. And Peter, James, and John went on to live as God's disciples. When you encounter the glory of God, you are transformed. You are changed. And I think you're here today because at some point in your life, you've encountered the glory of God. And in that moment, or those moments, you are changed. We are changed. I've had my own mountaintop experiences. One that came to mind as I was thinking about this was about 30 or so years ago. It was during my time as a minister of music. And I would go on a pretty regular basis, almost every year, to the Christian Artist Music Seminar in Estes Park, Colorado, at the YMCA of the Rockies. It's about 9,000 feet. It's gorgeous, and it was just a week full of music. It was put on by Gospel Music Association eventually, but this Christian artist would bring in all of the latest and greatest hits, music artists that you would hear on the radio kind of folks, to come and do 3 hours of concerts every night and do workshops with us during the day. For a minister of music, a musician guy, this was heaven, right? And not just because we got to hang out with the stars, you know. It's not just about being starstruck by their fame and glory. It was much more about being starstruck by the Milky Way as we would see it every night over the mountains, and being starstruck by these peaks that surrounded us, and being starstruck with how thin the air is at 9,000 feet when you're walking from place to place. Seeing God's glory in that. But also hearing the glory of God in the music, night after night, being drawn in to these expressions of faith and having God's glory be revealed. It was a powerful mountaintop experience for me that I continue to draw upon even today. And I was changed by those experiences. It's part of what has led me into the journeys that I've gone on in my life following that time. You've had your own mountaintop experiences. I'm pretty confident of that. It would be fun to take the next hour and a half and just have you share some of those, but we won't. Some of your mountaintop experiences involve mountains, and some don't. Whenever you have an encounter with the glory of God, you have this mountaintop experience that changes your life, and you wouldn't be here today if someday you hadn't had that experience. It's that glimpse of God that changes you forever, that moment of awareness of God that sparks the gift of faith in you, and sometimes it draws you to your knees, and sometimes it lifts your eyes from despair, and sometimes it gives comfort to your fear, and sometimes it convicts and challenges you to do better, and sometimes it brings you to tears, and sometimes it fills you with joy. But you have encountered the glory of God. So what are those moments for you? What are those moments when you have felt God's presence and experienced God's glory? There are a few moments that come to my mind from just this past week. Centering prayer is a time of just sitting in silence before God for 20 minutes. And in that silence, you experience the presence of God, the glory of God. You might hear God's voice, which I think is why we have a group of folks that gather here every Saturday morning for centering prayer. Because in that time of silence, you encounter the glory of God. And you're welcome to come join them. They'd be more than happy to have you. Last night I had an interesting experience. I got to worship at my congregation where I served before, Prince of Peace Lutheran in Burnsville. They were short one pastor last night, and they needed someone to come and preside and do communion with them and those kinds of things. So I got to go back and do that. It was a unique night, though, because they were thinking about Luther Seminary, and they had a professor from Luther who was preaching, and they had a student from Luther who was doing the prayers of confession and absolution. And he happened to be from Antigua in the Caribbean, and he happened to be a Moravian pastor, and when he got up to do the confession and absolution with us, he closed his eyes and he prayed. And it was this powerful prayer of conviction that came from his heart, and then a powerful announcement of forgiveness. And I'm still moved by that experience of encountering the glory of God in that promise of confession and forgiveness. We encounter God in our worship. I thought back to last Sunday in our worship here, the ways that we encountered God in Don Samuel's preaching about the kingdom of God, the way he brought that very much to life for us. We hear God's voice in that. And then I thought about the prayer for Joshua and Elisha, and it was very intentional that we prayed for them and their marriage over here right in front of Beatrice's portrait. So his mom was kind of looking over his shoulder as we prayed for them. And then I thought about the prayers, the speeches that were made downstairs as Joshua expressed his thanks to the African mothers that provided our lunch, and then the words of the African mothers as each of them claimed Joshua as their son and blessed him. The glory of God is revealed in that. And always in the sacrament. And for me, I get a unique perspective on that because I get to stand here and see your faces and the glow as you come and extend your hands. Now, you might not know that your faces are glowing, but they are. We encounter God here in the sacraments. And I'll get it under control here. And then in Project Home, there are a couple evenings this week when I dropped by and spent some time with the families that are here. God's beauty is revealed in the fervent hope of mothers seeking a better way for their children. God's promise is revealed in the hearts of those children who play in the midst of strange and challenging circumstances. God's love is revealed in the caring of the volunteers who serve and befriend the families who come. God's glory is revealed in love and in play and in beauty. And it surrounds us. God's glory points us to Christ and says, "This is my beloved Son, my chosen. Listen to him." So I invite you to listen, to reflect, to recall those mountaintop experiences in your life, your encounters with the glory of God, to recall this day, the day-by-day encounters of last week, and look forward to those encounters that are coming this week as you encounter God in love and in play and in beauty. And then listen expectantly for God's voice in your life in the days to come. Amen.